Open your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 5 and verses 18 through 20. Mark chapter 5 and verses 18 through 20. These verses are the tail end of a story in the gospel accounts about a man from whom Jesus cast out demons. And he had been in the tombs, in the cemetery, if you will. These demons had plagued him so greatly. And he didn't have just one demon within him, but a legion of demons. It says that when Jesus spoke to those demons and said, "Who are you?" They said, "We are legion." There were so many demons inside of this man. And they had pulled him and torn him, cast him down into this cemetery. The people wouldn't have him in the town, live there, because he was such a wild person. He had been bound in shackles and chains, and the demons had torn them asunder and broken them to pieces, and to much destruction of his own body, I am sure, and much damage to his flesh, no doubt. And so day and night, it says, he lived in the mountains and in the tombs, verse 5, cutting himself even with stones. And so when Jesus came and this man was in his vicinity, these demons who were controlling this man came up to Jesus. They knew who he was, and they said, "Lord Jesus, what do we have to do with you? Do not torment us before our time." You see, they knew that they were bound for torments. They knew that they were bound to be punished for all eternity by Jesus himself. Well, that wasn't Jesus' purpose at this time, to torment them, but they knew that that was coming and they were afraid of Jesus. And so Jesus, having compassion on the man who was possessed by these demons, told these demons, "Come out of that man, unclean spirit." And he asked their name and they said, "They're legion." And they begged him not to send them away, but to send them into the swine that were nearby. And so Jesus gave them leave to go into the swine, and the swine ran down the hill and fell into the lake there and drowned themselves. But the man was so grateful to Jesus for casting all of these demons out of him. Then that's what we read here in verse 18. It says, "And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him," that is, begged Jesus, "that he might be with him." You see, he wanted to be with Jesus for the good things that Jesus had done to him. And I suspect that if Jesus had done something like that for us, we would want to be with Jesus as well. Now look, we should want to be with Jesus for the good things that he has done for us. And we're going to talk about what some of those good things are in our lesson today, so we won't get ahead of ourselves. But notice then what it says in verse 19. It says, "However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.' And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." What a great story of Jesus healing this man. But then the after story, if you will, the second part of the story, was what this man did in response to the wonderful gift of salvation that Jesus gave him. He was saved from those demons, and he went out and he began telling others about what Jesus had done for him. And that leads us into our lesson today. Have we been instrumental in telling others about Jesus and what Jesus has done for us in our life? And that's the big question that we want to ask today. And that's how we want to think about this story that we read in the Gospel of Mark here, about what Jesus did for this man and how he went out and told others about these things. You see, we need to be engaged and involved in personal evangelism each and every day. It needs to be something that we are always thinking about. It needs to be something that is in the forefront of our mind all the time. What Jesus has done for us, and then how we can tell others about that. That is, the things that Jesus has done for us within our life. And there may be some here thinking, well, I can't do that. I can't do personal evangelism. I can't tell others about that. I'm just not very good at it. But I want you to know this morning that everyone can do something. Maybe you're not good at words. We'll pick up one of these tracts that we have in the back there and hand that to somebody. We've got a bunch of free Bibles that we're trying to give away to people about Jesus and about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's a study program in the back of these Bibles that they can study through and they can learn about Jesus. You can talk about how Jesus has blessed you in your life. You can talk about the great works that we're doing here at the church. Talk about the wonderful youth group that we have here. Talk about the good dinner that we did for the teachers here. Talk about all of the activities that we have. If you don't know what they are, pick up a calendar in the back and look and see what they are. We go to the nursing home once a month and we work with the people there and singing wonderful gospel hymns over there. Those are good works that we're doing in this community. And we need to be talking about those things and sharing Jesus in the life of others. And we can do that. Each one of us can do that. We have more ability than we think we have to do that. If we tell ourselves, well, I can't do that, then what have we done? We've cut ourselves off before we've even started. If you say, I can't do that, then guess what? You can't do it. Because you're not going to do it because you told yourself you can't do it. And that means you're going to have 0% success. Now, that's the wrong way to be thinking about it. The way to be thinking about it is not to say, I can't do it. The way to be thinking about it is to say, how can I do it? How can I evangelize others? How can I be involved in talking to others about Jesus? How can I get the message out? You see, in that way, your success will be something. It may not be 100%. I don't know anybody who's 100% successful at evangelizing others. But you will have some success. But if you say, I can't do it, you're going to have no success because you're not even going to try. So let's not have that attitude. Let's be like this man and go out and tell other people what Jesus has done for us. Even the simplest things are great. Little is much when God is in it, one of our old hymns says. And so we need to be involved in personal evangelism. And what are my motives for being involved in personal evangelism? Well, let's talk about that this morning. Motives for personal evangelism as we let this story here in Mark chapter 5 and verses 18 through 20 illustrate for us our motives. First of all, we ought to be involved in personal evangelism because we love other people. And I'm not talking about a romantic kind of love, you know, kind of a ooey-gooey, gishy kind of love, you know, Twitter-pated as the movie Bambi talks about, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about concern. I'm talking about real, genuine love for others, desire for others to have good things within their lives, and specifically to have the gospel of Jesus Christ within their life. The gospel is the best thing that we can talk about to others. It's the greatest thing that we can talk about to others. The gospel is good, and we want to share it with others. And when we do that, we're showing genuine love and concern for others. We're showing, first of all, our love for Jesus. Now think about this man and his love for Jesus. He wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to do what Jesus was doing. He said, let me be with you. And Jesus said, no, I don't want you to do that. What I want you to do is to go back to your friends and family and your neighbors and all of those you live with and tell them what the wonderful things are that I've done for you in your life. And so after Jesus drove out these demons, that's exactly what he did. He went to those in his own country. And he loved Jesus. And he told others about Jesus because he loved Jesus and what Jesus had done for him. And he obeyed the commands of Jesus as part of loving Jesus. In 1 John 5 and verses 2 and 3, John wrote, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." And so we want to keep God's commandments. We want to keep Jesus' commandments. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15. And so love for Jesus needs to be part of our motivation for going out and evangelizing others. And then love for our friends and our relatives and our neighbors and all those who are around us. Love for our fellow man. That needs to be part of our motivation of going out and preaching the gospel to others and sharing the gospel to others, telling others about Jesus. I can't help but think of this man out of whom these demons were expelled. He had someone to love, someone that he had not been in contact with because of all the demons that had been in his life. And now these demons have been cast out from him, and he has the opportunity then to establish those great relationships with his friends and with his family and with his loved ones, with his neighbors. And they could marvel, you see, at the changes that have taken place in his life because of what Jesus had done for him. And so he went back to his own country and he talked about Jesus to others. Do we show that kind of love for our friends and our family and our neighbors among us today to tell them about Jesus? Pick up some tracts that we have in our tract rack back here. Take those to work with you. Set them on your desk there at work and let others come in and see those kind of things, so that they can know more about Jesus. Take one of these Bibles with you that we have. I've got them in my office, all stacked up. Set some of those on your desk at work. Let people come by and look at them and say, "You can take that with you if you'd like." That's a great way of sharing Jesus with them by giving them a free Bible that we gave away several at our luncheon the other day. Somewhere between 70 and 90 Bibles we gave away. Teachers took with them, and that was wonderful, and I was glad. And even one teacher mentioned that she was going to take it for her classroom. You see, teachers are allowed to have Bibles in their classroom. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. If they put it in there and it is available, they can have it in their classroom. Now, they can't indoctrinate in the classrooms. They're not supposed to teach and say that this is the doctrine that you should understand or know or learn or something like that. But they can teach. The Bible is allowed to be discussed in the classroom from a historical vantage point, from a vantage point of literature. You can discuss the Bible. Those things are allowed. They're permitted in the classroom. And so that one teacher took a Bible to put in her classroom, and I was glad that she did that. And so don't be intimidated by the ACLU or by lawyers who say they're going to sue you. There's people out there who will defend you if you do that. That's okay. Don't worry about that. Know what your rights are and then use those rights appropriately if you are concerned about that. But Bibles are allowed in the schools, and a teacher can have a personal Bible in the classroom, in the school, for their own use. I've seen them before. I've seen classes that teachers do that. I've seen posters up on the wall in the classrooms that talk about the Bible and about other things from the Bible. And teachers have put those things up on their walls. And I've never heard of anybody getting in trouble for doing that in the classroom here in New Boston. And so feel free to do that. Take those Bibles with you and put them out there. Show love for other people. But then show love for yourself as well. Do you realize that doing personal evangelism and getting out there and talking about Jesus is giving yourself away to other people? And that's showing true love for yourself. You are precious. God made you and Christ died for you. And that's why I know that you are precious. And you have something that no one else has that you can give away to other people. And what is that? It's you. And no one else can give you but you. And so get out there and give yourself away to other people and talk to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And how do we love ourselves? By giving ourselves away to others. The golden rule is, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, even do you so to them also. For this is the law and the prophets, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse, or Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. And so, would you want someone to share the gospel with you? If you were lost and you needed help, wouldn't you want somebody to share the gospel of Jesus with you? I know you would, because you're here today. And so, why not share it with someone else? And so, why do I need to be involved in personal evangelism? Because of love. Love for Jesus, love for others, and love for myself. But then secondly, I want to be involved in personal evangelism because I am so thankful and grateful for what Jesus has done for me. I can't help but think that this man was thankful and grateful for what Jesus had done for him. Imagine being trapped inside your body, a body that's controlled by legions of demons, and you're just trapped there and you have no control over your body at all. You're completely possessed by something else. And these demons make you do dreadful things. Hurt your friends, hurt your neighbors, hurt yourself, cast you into caves, cast you into a cemetery. All of these horrible, dreadful things. And think of the fear at every moment, thinking, is this going to be my last moment being possessed by these demons and being driven every which way? Oh, what a fearful life those outside of Christ lead, wondering if the next moment is going to be their last, and then where it will bring them in judgment in relationship to God. What a great burden to be carrying around. And when that burden is lifted, how thankful are we? How grateful are we that we now have peace and joy and love within our life, and that we have our faculties and we're able then to be a reasonable person, a person who goes out and understands that the extremes have been eliminated by Jesus being in our life. You see, and that's what Jesus does for us. I don't think we appreciate that very much. But think about how to the extremes people in the world of sin go, you know, always going to one extreme or another, and thinking about how awful that those circumstances are. It's described in the Bible like being tossed to and fro by wind, you know, and waves, just going every which way, not having any kind of direction or guidance or purpose in life at all, just being carried about one way or another. That's not a way to live, but that's the way many people survive in today's world. But to be free from that, oh, it's a great blessing to be free from that. It's a wonderful blessing, and we should be very thankful about that. It brings to mind, you know, and this illustration is something that I was thinking about in reference to this. But do you know the quarterback Terry Bradshaw? Perhaps you know of him. You've heard of him. Very, very bubbly personality, right? I mean, if you think about him and who he is, he's always so, he always comes across very happy, you know, and joking all the time, and a very wonderful TV personality. But you know, recently, and within the last couple of years, I think it is, he has done some ads on television for a product that deals with the problem of, you know, that results from having chicken pox when you're young, and then later on in life you get this other disease, and I'm having a hard time remembering what. Shingles. Thank you. Okay, appreciate that. Shingles. Yeah. So he did some ads regarding shingles, and in these ads for shingles, you see a different Terry Bradshaw. He's very sober, you know, and very serious. And why is that? Because he had shingles. And he knows how bad it is and how much it hurts and the pain that he went through. And so in this ad, he is urging you, you know, to get this shot for shingles to make sure that you don't get this kind of painful condition that he had. And it's a very different person than you see. But this illustrates, you see, how serious life can be sometimes and how sober the topic can be, and knowing that there is this remedy out there, right? And that a person doesn't have to suffer as he suffers. Knowing that he can have this remedy and that you can take it and that you will avoid all of this horrible pain that results from this horrible condition of shingles. And so his personality took a change, you see, when it came to that. And he got serious and sober in talking about this. And I think that this man had the same kind of effort. And to be grateful that there is this remedy out there that can help. And to be grateful that I have been helped. And now we're not talking about shingles, but we're talking about the problem of sin and how difficult that is and how troubling that is and how painful that can be, not on a physical level, but on a spiritual level. And then to know that Jesus provides that remedy, you see. We who were once in sin, separated from God, having no power to provide for our own salvation. And God sent Jesus then to die in our place so that we might have forgiveness of those sins and so that we wouldn't be tossed to and fro as people in a lifeboat, so to speak, and just going every which way and not having any hope of salvation. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. And Paul says, in reflecting upon that old man of sin in Romans chapter 7, who shall save me from this body of death? And then he says this, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. You see, He's the one with the remedy. He's the one that can help us avoid all the pain associated with sin within our life. And when we're delivered from that, oh, how thankful we are. How grateful we are. And look what this man did here in Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. He went out and he shared the message of Jesus with others. He was thankful for what had happened. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17 for just a moment. Luke chapter 17 and read about another man who was thankful to Jesus for what Jesus did for him. And this man was a leper, and he was with a group of lepers. And they came to Jesus, and they wanted to be healed of their leprosy. And this is Luke chapter 17, and starting in about verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. You see, they were supposed to stand off. Afar off, and they were supposed to cover their mouth like this and cry out, unclean, unclean, so that people wouldn't get around them. Now, can you imagine such a life? Can you imagine being that kind of person? And everywhere you go, having to cover your mouth and say, unclean, unclean, everywhere you go. What a horrible life to live, right? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But then here they were, and they lifted up their voices afar off. They knew who Jesus was. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And they took off and they went. And they showed faith by doing that. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. On the way to the priest, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, I don't know exactly what he said, but it was must have been praises of thanksgiving, because the text said he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so he said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. And now, you know, he doesn't have to go around anymore saying unclean, unclean everywhere he goes. He can be back among society again and with people again. What a blessing that would be. But Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And so he was thankful. But then there were 9 others who were not. And they didn't praise Jesus. They didn't thank him for the blessing that they had been given. Who are we like? Are we like the one who turned back and said, thank you, Jesus? And then we're willing to go out and tell others about the wonderful things Jesus has done. Are we like the 9 unthankful? Who, wow, we got great stuff here. You know, a lot of people come to church not for what they can give, but for what they can get, right? And it's all about me. What can I get out of this? And if you give me something out of this, well, then I just might stay, you see. Well, that's not the kind of people that Jesus wants to be his brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's not the kind of people that Jesus was. That's not the kind of person Jesus was. See, Jesus was a servant. He served others. He gave of himself. And that's what we have to be doing as well. Giving. It's not about what we can get, but what we can give. That's the kind of people that we need to be in relationship to Jesus. Who are we like? Like the 9 or like the one who came back and glorified God and thanked Jesus? We need to be thankful. Being thankful is a motivation for sharing the gospel to others. And then, finally, I believe as we look at this man who Jesus healed here, or he cast the demons out of him here in Mark chapter 5, that he was joyful. And his joy must have been infectious. Can you imagine being in that situation, you know, with all those demons? And stuff, they were cast out and now he's free again. He's joyful. He's happy. And he's going around telling everybody, look what Jesus did for me. It's great. It's wonderful. I'm so happy about this. Oh, that we could experience that joy and that happiness and tell others like this man did. What can happen when we let our joy motivate us to tell others about Jesus? We can have influence on other people because other people want to be happy. They want to be joyful. And when we show them our happiness and our joy, they're going to want to know, how did you get that? Why are you like this? And they will want to know more about Jesus Christ. Whether it's one person or great crowds or whatever it might be, we can make a difference in other people's lives. Listen to the results that come from believing and obeying Jesus in one's life. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 3 it says, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. When people are converted, we should rejoice with them. Great joy. The saved individual is happy as well. Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, the one who obeyed the gospel there, the Ethiopian nobleman, it says that he went on his way rejoicing. He was glad because of the salvation that came to his life. And most importantly, God rejoices when one is converted away from the devil and to him to become his child. Luke 15 verse 10 says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. More so than over 99 who need no repentance. And so God rejoices. Joy should be one of our motivations. Why aren't we to be motivated to do personal evangelism and to be involved in the lives of others and spreading the gospel of Jesus? Because we should love Jesus and others and ourselves. We should be thankful for the wonderful things God has done for us and from the sin that He saved us from. So we should be thankful for the salvation. And most importantly, we should be joyful and let that joy motivate us to tell others about Jesus. Is there any here who needs to experience the salvation that Jesus offers this morning. Now, He wants you to believe in Him, to hear His Word, to have faith based upon hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. To repent of your sins. It's sin that got you in the mess you're in the first place. That separates you from God. So you've got to put those sins aside. You've got to repent of those sins. A change of mind that results in a reformation of life. That's what repentance is. You've got to confess Jesus as Lord. He wants you to confess Him before men. And then keep on confessing Him all of your life. And to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That's where we identify with Jesus. We come into the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection. And we die to our old self and are buried. We bury that old person of sin and we leave it buried. And then we are raised to walk in newness of life. That's what baptism is all about. Becoming a new person, a new creation in Christ. And the Holy Spirit enters into our lives. And God begins working on us at that point through His Word. And making changes in our life so that we can be His, truly His, and be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so if you need to become a child of God this morning, we're happy to help you with that. We want you to become a child of God. We want you to have Jesus in your life, to identify with Him so that your life can have meaning and purpose. It won't be tossed to and fro anymore, one direction or another, by sin that just doesn't care about you. But now it's going to be ordered by Jesus, who loves you, who died for you. Why not give yourself to Him today while we stand and while we sing?